Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Episode 1735, here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Welcome, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots across the free zones in the American Redoubt, other pockets of conservative resistance, and especially those of you outside the wire in occupied territory, have hope. You are not alone. I had a great Veterans Day yesterday, and I hope you guys did too. It's our time to honor our veterans. Well, as most of you know, I am also a veteran. And so there are several businesses that were offering services and meals for veterans. So I took advantage of it. I never do this. Every year I always say, oh, I should do that sometime. And I never do. But I went to Texas Roadhouse and they had a special meal there, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 items to choose from. If you're a veteran, I mean, steak, burger, chicken, barbecue chicken sandwich, the whole meal. It was just incredible. So I went down there and it was just packed. All these, and one guy was wearing this Civil War uniform, full blown sergeant stripes and Confederate Army. It was really cool. But lots of old veterans there, you know, from lots of Korean War veterans and Vietnam, and then, of course, current era. Well, I was by myself, and they asked, do you want to be sat with someone else? And so I said, sure. So it's kind of like a little, like a crapshoot. I mean, you don't know who you're going to get assigned to. Well, when the number came up, they took and sat me with this young couple, well, younger than me. They're in their mid-30s, just got out of the Marine Corps, and just relocated here. You had a great meal. Had a great conversation, just really neat people talking about the military, some of the challenges our military's facing today, and just the lifestyle, just being in the military and some of our adventures. And it was just a really good time, really great time, and so many veterans. Well, the manager came over and shook our hands and said, thank you for your service. And I told him, I said, these guys do this, the Texas Roadhouse, they do this at every one of their restaurants across the country. It's not just a marketing ploy, although they benefit from it. They are truly patriotic. And they've got a table that I took a picture of, and they started doing this a couple years ago, as far as I know. But it is a table set for the missing soldier, the soldier that cannot be there because they were killed in action or maybe still deployed over there for some reason. As a service member is not able to come and be in America to enjoy this. And so the table's set. It's got the POW MIA flag hanging on the back of the chair and the American flag hanging on the backside of that, and a Bible sitting there on the table. And the whole place setting is all prepared for that soldier to walk in and sit down, but who never will, who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And it's just a really moving, really cool thing to see. I took pictures of it. I'll see if we can get that up on Facebook, but I know it's all over the internet. People have seen that before. But anyway, happy Veterans Day to you guys who have served. Now, before I get into the news, I want to remind you guys, Christmas shopping season is upon us. And like me, I know so many of you guys do your shopping online to avoid the crazy masses, and you use Amazon. Remember, we have an Amazon affiliate banner on Amron.com and RadioFreeRedoubt.com. If you would, when you do your shopping, please remember to help support us by just clicking on that banner, no matter what you're shopping for, anything that you're shopping for, and you're going to do it from Amazon, click on our affiliate banner link first, That'll take you straight through to Amazon, then do your shopping. And that affiliate link helps support us because they track, you know, whatever you buy, they take a small percentage of and they donate that to us. And that helps us offset some of the incredibly large and growing costs of doing what we do. So please, and tell your friends, hey, support these guys. Go through RadioFreeRedoubt.com and click on that Amazon banner. And it doesn't cost you any more. They're just going to pocket that. If they don't have to shell out 10 cents on every dollar or 5 cents or whatever it is, it's kind of a sliding scale. But, you know, if you go and order a pair of boots and $120 or whatever, they'll send us $3 or $4 for that. But without that, they just pocket it. So it makes no difference to you other than knowing that you're supporting us when you do use that affiliate banner. Okay, let's get into the news and commentary brought to you by our friend and author and lawyer, Glenn Tate, the author of the 299 Days book series. All 10 books out, including the audiobooks, go to 299days.com. All right. Last week we talked about, 1 week ago today, this horrific shooting took place. Shocked the country. 27 dead now, 20 wounded. I've got a special guest coming up. We're going to be talking about some of this stuff in the last, segments 3 and 4 coming up. I'm going to save a lot of those stories for those segments, segment 2 and then segment 3. We're going to be talking about this with this guest. But this being Veterans Day weekend, and NFL has been on this tantrum protesting our national anthem. Only three players took a knee during national anthem before the New York Giants game at the San Francisco 49ers. The Bears and Packers, their game was half empty at Soldier Field. People are protesting the NFL. They're protesting professional football. Only three players reportedly knelt for the anthem this weekend on Veterans Day weekend. People are sick of it. Oh, I'm kneeling. It has nothing to do with the military. Oh, they're my friends. I have a friend that was in the military. I love veterans. I love the military. I'm not prejudiced. So it's blowing up in their faces. And I say good for them. And so keep it up. I won't watch NFL football anymore. Done with it. Cut them off. Don't need it. Bread and circuses anyway. Oh, USA Today has got an article. Army lifts ban on waivers for recruits with history of some mental health issues. Wonderful. That's all we need in our military. Let's just keep eroding our military's capabilities and their mission effectiveness. People with a history of self-mutilation, bipolar disorder, depression, and drug and alcohol abuse can now seek waivers to join the Army under an unannounced policy enacted in August. That's coming from USA Today. The decision to open the Army recruiting to those with mental health conditions comes as the service faces the challenging goal of recruiting 80,000 new soldiers from September 2018 to meet last year's goal of 69,000. So expanding the waivers for mental health is possible in part because the Army now has access to more medical information about each potential recruit. Isn't that interesting? Hold on a minute. Because now the Army has access to more medical information about each potential recruit. They're gaining access to more and more of this information. Of course, mental health issues, they're making those available for background checks and so on and so forth. So at a time when they're saying at a time when they're desperately trying to recruit more soldiers to meet their recruiting goals, I would also add this comes at a time also when we need chaplains more than ever. And the chaplain corps is under extreme attack, especially with the homosexual Gestapo and the transgender shock troops that are attacking our chaplain corps. They can't proselytize. They can't say Jesus. The chaplains are leaving the military at record rates. It's it's just, we are being set up for defeat.
It's almost biblical.
We're at war against God, and at the same time, we're depleting our military's ability. This is not accidental. This is spiritual warfare. 101. Pay attention. There's a Christian university that's being pressured to end their ban on homosexuality. A Christian university. LGBT students. Oh, they shortened it. It was LGBTQSTD something. It was like 20 characters long. They keep adding to it. The protected class just keeps getting bigger and bigger. But LGBT student activists at one California's largest Christian universities are demanding that school officials end what they consider discriminatory behavior against LGBT individuals on campus by removing certain clauses from the student conduct policy. Well, you know what? I would say we will take this under consideration. Let us consult God and see what he says. And then we'll come back with your answer. How's that? Stick that in your hookah and smoke it. All right. Redoubt News. You guys know that a friend of mine, Todd Engel, he's been imprisoned as a political prisoner over this situation in Bundy Ranch. He did plead to some lesser charges. He didn't get any of the conspiracy and firearms charges. But he is going to – they're definitely drastically less charges. But he is going to hopefully – well, he was going to try to represent himself because both of his attorneys basically just bailed on him. One of them even fell asleep, reportedly, during the trials. And basically leftists, they just do not care if Todd goes to prison. So he actually has another attorney that is willing to step forward, but it's not a court-appointed attorney, so he needs to raise some funds. If you want to, please consider helping Todd and his family raise the funds to pay for a decent attorney to help Todd. If you'd like to help him by helping to pay for his attorney, the link that his sister set up is PayPal me, Freedom for Todd. We'll put the link up on our Highlights and Resources posting. Freedom for Todd. Any amount will help. This is posted over at redoubtnews.com. You can go there as well. Well, you should be going to redoubtnews.com anyway to get the latest on a lot of this stuff because they're doing such an amazing job over there. And they also have a live stream video by Andrea Parker. That's the wife of the defendant, Eric Parker, and Kelly Cooper, Todd's sister. There's more information there, and Kelly reads a letter from Todd. There's no sound the first minute or so, and Andrea starts over when that is corrected. So anyway, that they posted a video. If you guys, because I know several of you still ask, you know, hey, how are these guys doing? How can we support them? There is a great way that you can support them. This Sunday, this is from the Wall Street Journal. Some church goers may choose to pack guns with their Bibles. Well, I think there's a lot of that going on right now. Actually, a lot of that has already been going on, but now there's people that have been sitting on the fence. They just got pushed off the fence. They're actually getting their concealed weapons permits. They're actually carrying firearms now to church, to the sanctuary. It really gives a whole new meaning to sanctuary. You're safe here. Nobody can harm you. Somebody comes through that door intending harm. This is a sanctuary, not the church. You're the church. That is a sanctuary, a place where you can go for safety. Well, let's hope that trend continues so that those places of worship do become true sanctuaries. Congregations face question of security at services in the wake of Texas shooting, and they viewing it as a responsibility to protect the flock. Well, it's about time. But listen to this article. As he does every Sunday, the Reverend Council Ned II, an Anglican rector, put on his collar and robes to offer Mass at his central Pennsylvania church. Now he's considering wearing something else with his religious vestments, his handgun. Well, hallelujah. Are we starting to finally return to our roots? How many pastors were wearing the Revolutionary War uniforms and swords and handguns and muskets under their robes? They call them the Black Robe Regiment.
Oh, this is a beautiful thing. It's about time. We're going to save lives. As Pennsylvania State Constable, Dr. Ned can bring his gun just about everywhere, to the grocery store, to the park, and to synagogues and other houses of worship where he often acts as security. His church was the one place where he went unarmed. His church, he felt safe there. It's all good people here. Nothing can happen, right? So now he's changing his ways, but listen to this. Pennsylvania, which is not a reciprocity state with a lot of the states that I hail from in the free zones. A Pennsylvania state constable. Now, because he's a constable, he can bring his gun just about everywhere. Why do you have to be a constable to be able to bring your gun just about everywhere? Why? Special privileges? Is there a privileged class now? What about an American citizen who's protected by the Constitution? Can they not bring their guns just about everywhere? Well, in the American Redoubt, you can. But I guess in Pennsylvania, you got to be a constable. What is going on? My goodness, I'm glad there's still free zones left. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in segment two. Don't go away.
It makes me livid when I hear the anti-self-defense thugs and their minions in the government, in the media, and from Hollywood talk about common sense gun regulation or reasonable measures to keep criminals from getting their hands on guns. Fortunately, the pro-Second Amendment Americans vastly outnumber the hopeful slave makers. Still, they keep pushing and pushing and pushing. Since they can't ban combat rifles or handguns outright without starting the Second American Revolution, they change their tactics. These appear as soft tactics, but their end goal is the same: disarm the American people. And their sights are set specifically on the middle class. These tactics are licensing and registration. This creeping gradualism is nothing short of tyranny, and has historically always led to confiscation. If they were honest with you and me, and especially themselves, they would acknowledge their measures do nothing to reduce crime. But then, reducing crime was never their goal. Vladimir Lenin said, "A system of licensing and registration is the perfect device to deny gun ownership to the bourgeoisie." But I say, never register or license your arms, and never give them up. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
We are back with segment two, which is brought to you by our friends Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. For those of you that are strategically relocating to the free zones, into the American Redoubt, these folks, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, specifically help folks that are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of North Idaho. Definitely Christian Patriot territory, but as you know, there is a war on. The adversaries of all that is Americanism or Christian heritage, well, they cannot stand any
last vestiges left of freedom. And we need more and more of you folks, like-minded folks, to strategically relocate, to strengthen up these areas that are already extremely conservative, because this is strategic. This is a long-term goal for where we are headed. We are going to need to band together. All right. You guys heard this from this hero, Stephen Williford, saying, "I wish I could have just gotten there faster." He ran out barefoot. He had to dig for his AR-15 out of the safe. He had a box of ammo that he dumped into his hands while he's trying to load up a magazine. He is definitely a hero. God bless him, and I'm so glad that he was there. But there's lessons that we can learn from this, aren't there? If you knew, because you don't know when it's going to happen, if you knew, how would you be prepared to more quickly respond to this type of an incident? Would you have some magazines fully loaded, always ready to go? Maybe in a three-magazine pouch that you could just sling over, just throw over your shoulder. How about a vest, even with plates, from KD Armor, all ready to go? Magazines, blood stopper kit, everything, all ready to go. You just slide that thing over the top of your shoulders, let it drop down on you, grab your weapon, and go. And cut that response time down to seconds, like single-digit seconds. So, anyway, God bless him. There are churches that are waking up. Here's one article after another. New York church encourages worshipers to bring guns, saying, "We protect our people." That's from the Citizen Free Press. Another one, churches urged to be prepared, from One News Now. I'm talking about the New Life Church. And I want to quote something from this article. The New Life Church shooting that happened in Colorado Springs. I went there after that happened. And I talked to the lady who engaged that active shooter. She took me on the tour. And showed me exactly where she was standing, where he was standing. She took me around the corner. This is where I was. I came around this corner. I was standing right where you're standing. And then I yelled this at him. I engaged him. It was a pretty cool experience. Anyway, from this article, the shooter actually waited until the marked cars, because there were police officers there on campus. The shooter waited until the marked cars drove away. They were only a mile away when they got the first call. And by the time that they came back, it was already over. That's how fast it happens. So definitely got to have active security. We're going to be talking about that in the next segment with our guest. But first, we have a propaganda alert. There's a video that are made up of a bunch of court jesters. I mean, celebrities, actors, and such. Interesting. We pay them to make us laugh and entertain us. And then they all of a sudden they want to get all philosophical and political. But they're hypocrites. But they're going to try to make a propaganda video. And this was just recently sent. This is actually kind of regurgitated. It's regurgitated as a, we demand a plan, a message to President Trump to end gun violence in America. I'm sorry you have to endure this. It's just a little over a minute. But listen to this tripe.
Columbine.
Virginia Tech.
Tucson.
Aurora.
Fort Hood.
Oak Creek.
Newtown.
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 How many more?
How many more?
How many more colleges?
How many more classrooms?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more houses of faith?
How many more shopping malls?
How many more street corners?
How many more?
How many more?
Enough.
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 Demand a plan.
Right now.
As a mom.
As a dad.
As a friend.
As a husband.
As a wife.
As an American.
As an American.
As an American.
No more lists.
No more
who they might have been. No more
if we had just done something yesterday.
It's time.
We can do better than this.
We can do better than this.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to act.
Demand a plan. Right now.
Right now.
You! Demand it!
Enough.
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 Yes, enough. I agree. Enough. I shortened that up for you guys because it's just so disgusting. Demand a plan. You know, I agree, actually. I demand that the Constitution be strictly adhered to, including the Second Amendment. I demand that all politicians who vote to approve funding for Planned Parenthood while giving speeches about disarming Americans in order to save children's lives immediately resign. I demand that sales tax be exempt from goods or services related to self-defense, including the sale of all firearms, ammunition, and firearms-related training. I demand that the history of our rich firearms heritage in America, and our Christian heritage for that matter, and the countless times that they've been used to stop tyranny and mass murders be taught in our history and current events classes at all levels of education that are subsidized by government money. I demand that until we can repeal the income tax, that every adult in a household may treat one combat rifle as another household deduction on their annual income tax returns. I demand that all laws that obstruct peaceful citizens from immediate acquisition of firearms for self-defense be immediately repealed. I demand that all restrictions or laws which obstruct places of worship from establishing and arming adequate security with the training and equipment and configuration of their choosing be immediately repealed. I demand that any public official or anyone who's sworn an oath to the Constitution, who advances causes or laws or other measures which a reasonable person would know would be a violation of the Constitution, shall immediately resign and be prosecuted. How's that for a start on the list of demands? I demand a plan. How's that for you Hollywood freaks and perverts? You leave the rest of us alone and just shut up and entertain us. How's that? I don't know why anybody's not just telling them this. Anyway, segment 3 coming up. Our guest coming up. Happy to bring him to you. Sheepdog Seminars. Don't go away.
Are equal.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
You're listening to Radio Free Readout, the voice of the American Readout.
Welcome back. This is segment 3 brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to keep you safe and help you thrive. If you've got property that you want to get the most out of for sustainability and for defensibility and water rights and so much more, they offer several services. Get a hold of strategiclandscapedesign.com, helping you achieve a life of liberty. All right. We are joined by Jimmy Meeks from Sheepdog Seminars, and he is making his rounds absolutely slammed right now because there are so many churches that are saying, we are considering this. We are reconsidering our policy. We want to implement security. How do we go about doing it? And Jimmy Meeks with Sheepdog Seminars is doing just that. Jimmy, thank you for being with us.
It's a privilege to be on tonight. Greetings from Texas.
Thank you. And you are right there in the heart of the aftermath from that shooting just 1 week ago today. And you've actually been able to speak with some of them and get into that community and kind of minister to them. So let's start off by talking about you. What is it exactly that you do?
Well, I'm a retired police officer, 35 years here in the Fort Worth area. Retired 2 years ago, December of 2015. And I've been a preacher. I've been a minister. I was licensed to preach in Arkansas back in the early 70s. So I've been in the ministry for 44 years. And I got assigned to the Crime Prevention Division back in around 2006. I had a 3-year stint assignment in that division. I absolutely loved it. I learned that crime could be stopped if police departments were willing to take those initiatives to do so, but that's probably another interview.
Right.
But I began to get interested in churches. I thought, you know, I wonder what kind of crime is occurring in churches. Now, all I knew is that in September of 1999, about 20 minutes from where I was that night on duty, a man walked into a church in Wedgwood, walked into a church called Wedgwood Baptist in Fort Worth, Texas. And for 7 minutes, he just rained down chaos on them. He shot 14 people. He killed seven. I knew about that. And I also knew about a tragedy in East Texas in 1980, the church I was married at. I wasn't there that day, but a man who was going to go on trial for sex crimes on June 23rd decided on Sunday morning, June 22nd, that he would act out a plan that he'd been working on for a while. He walked into the First Baptist Church of Dangerfield, Texas, which is near Texarkana, Texas. He had two handguns and two rifles, 400 bullets. He was wearing an army helmet and two flak jackets. He walked into that church at about 11:20, shouted, "This is war." And then he shot 15 people and killed five. I knew about that. I didn't know much about it. As a matter of fact, I began to study it, and I got so obsessed with it that I found a movie company and said, this needs to be a movie. And for the next two or three years, we worked on that and produced an award-winning movie called Faith Under Fire.
Yes.
And it's probably the best faith-based movie you'll ever see. We put that thing out. We've been showing that all over the country. So I began to help churches in May of 2009. My chief let me put on a church safety seminar, had a couple hundred people show up. And I thought that was the end of my seminar days, that I would just finish up my career, retire, and continue in the ministry. But churches began to call. And I guess that was 8 years ago and probably 200 churches ago. And as I said earlier, I didn't know, you know, how bad it was at the time. But this is how bad it is. Let me just bring you up to speed, up to date on 2017. We've had 108 people, 108, 108 people have died a violent death on church and faith-based property. And that's going to be, if you look back the last 100 years, that means this is the most violent year for faith-based property. We haven't had that happen in probably since the days of the Revolution.
Right.
But the old record, if you can call it that, was 2015. We lost 77, but we had already beat the old record by this past Sunday before the massacre in Sutherland Springs. There were two people shot at a church in Fresno, California, a couple of hours after the tragedy in Sutherland Springs. So I've just been running around the country. I'm dead tired from doing it, but believing from doing it. Going to jump in my car in the morning and drive up to Omaha, and along the way stop and meet with different churches along the way and bring townsfolk and church folk together and show them what you need to do. They mean this stuff can be stopped.
Yeah. I know that you were here in the American Redoubt right before Pastor Tim Remington over in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, was shot multiple times, point blank with a .45 auto, and survived by the grace of God. And you were giving seminars back. I mean, you've been doing this for quite a while.
Well, as I said, I started May 28th of 2009, but I did not anticipate that it would be something that, you know, I would continue doing it. You know, I just hadn't thought about it, you know, until the last 8 years that killing someone at a house of worship or faith-based property, they're not all shootings. Let me hasten to add.
Right.
A preacher in Oklahoma was attacked inside her church, and he mutilated her to death with a knife. Stripped her of her clothing, laid her in a crucified position, and set her hair on fire. I had a preacher in Fort Worth beaten to death with a guitar. A close relative of Dr. James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
One of his close relatives, 15 minutes from where I'm standing in March of 2011, was robbed in his church office. A bag was placed over his head, and he was smothered to death. We've had preachers shot while behind the pulpit. We've had them shot while in their office preparing a sermon. We had a preacher shot in Indianapolis who was preparing his sermon on a Sunday, and a homeless woman showed up and asked to see the pastor, and they said, well, he's in his office, which is mistake number one. Never tell a stranger where the pastor is. She went in there and shot him to death. The police came out, took her to jail, did a crime scene, turned the scene back over to the elders of the church, and they cleaned up the office. And as they were doing so, oddly enough, As they were doing so, they saw his sermon notes on his desk, and they noticed the topic at the top of the page, which read, "Pastors being killed around the world." That's what he was going to preach on the next morning.
Wow.
So these things have just been so odd. And of course, what happened in Charleston when he sat there with him for an hour, acting as if he were interested. He was wearing winter clothing in summertime and had a fanny pack. And inside that fanny pack was a gun. And we know how that turned out.
Yeah. Yeah. Tragic. Tragic, but it's the reality of the world that we're living in. We live in a fallen world. And, you know, we are, and in this listening audience, huge proponents of personal protection, especially within the church. Now, we understand where we're going in our culture, how it's turning increasingly anti-Christian. You know, these, and I really do believe it is definitely an anti-Christ spirit. You're not seeing these types of attacks on any other place of worship on the scale that we're seeing, you know, against Christians. And I'm talking across the world. And we've been living in a bubble for a long time in America, and we're getting a very rude awakening as far as the hostile spirit toward God's people. And we've been protected from that. But I think that, you know, it's starting to slip through. We're going to see more of this, unfortunately, until we as a culture get on our knees and repent and turn this country back, you know, to the source of our liberties. It is definitely Christ is definitely a divider here. There's no.
I agree with what you're saying, brother, but there were problems with shootings in churches during the American Revolution.
Sure.
Probably even a lot more then. I was reading a while ago an article when someone had done some research and found a quote by, I believe it was William Hennings back in the 1600s, where he encouraged all able men, "Please bring your guns to church."
Right.
And that's going to be from 1631.
Yep.
So what has really, really happened is that, you know, gun violence has been going down since the early 70s. We used to have 30,000 people murdered a year. We've cut that in half in the last 20 to 30 years.
Yes.
President Obama was asked by Taya Kyle a couple of years ago at a town hall meeting, advertised or live on television, that why aren't we celebrating that? And he conceded, "You're right, we're not celebrating that. It's actually, there's still a lot of people getting shot, and of course we're saving a lot of lives now. That helps out a lot. But we've cut the murder rate in half." But the world goes in cycles. Crime goes in cycles. I was reading this morning in 1 Chronicles 16, where the author says that, you know, some of the David's men, some of his mighty men, the Bible says they understood the times.
Yes.
And the truth is, we're just in, you know, we're in a season of violence right now, but we've always been. I mean, our country was founded on violence and,
right,
you know, fighting the English and then fighting the French and then fighting each other in the Civil War. And we tell people all the time that I don't get into the, I'm a minister. I study the scripture all the time. I mean, I'm constantly devouring scripture.
Sure.
The truth is, at one point, we had four people on the face of the earth, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. One of them, 25% of them, killed 25% of them. It's just always been, is the way of man. So churches, we encourage them. We say, listen, don't get into, why do people do this? Why do these things go on in the world? What the church has to do is simply say, listen, let's don't get into all the motives and statistics. So let's just protect ourselves and try to create a safe atmosphere when we gather for worship. Because every generation has thought it was the last generation. And everybody has thought, so far we have a 100% failure rate. Anybody that's predicted the coming of Christ has missed up to this very minute.
Right.
You know, Jesus said, you don't know the times and seasons the Father has established by his own power. You know, you'd be concerned with spreading the gospel. And what we encourage people to do is create a safe atmosphere so that you can spread the gospel.
Right.
It's obvious that violence is becoming more acceptable. But it's more acceptable simply because we have more people than ever before. When Kennedy was president, there was 140 million. Well, today there's 325 million.
Correct.
Used to, 3 out of 100 might kill, and now maybe 10 to 15. And I don't know the exact stats on that. But we have more killers because we have, for the first time in the history of the world, we have 7 billion people. So there's going to be more violence, which is all the more reason for people to think in terms of personal protection or how can we protect our flock?
Yeah.
Because it's just so serious. I mean, Brother, we have 5 to 10 sex crimes reported every day at a church in America. We have 98 kids molested every hour in the United States. And probably one of those every hour took place in a church-related setting. So with all of these people coming along and with all the violence and all the video and the internet and all the kid watches close to 80,000 people murdered on television before he gets a high school diploma, there's just more opportunities today and there's more things coming at us. And people do accept now, well, if he killed 26 in a church, I bet I could kill 27. Right. And he did kill 27. One of those ladies was pregnant, so he did kill 27.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about this. As you no doubt have been inundated with calls and requests. So let's talk about that. What are pastors saying to you when they contact you?
Well, I to begin with, in response to that, I wish it were the pastors that were calling. I've said before, and I mean no offense against my fellow pastors, they have a tough job. 34 pastors walk off the job every day, 1,000 a month, 12,000 a year. So I know it's tough. I pastored for a while. It's tough.
Yeah.
And there's a reason God's people are called sheep. Sheep are the dumbest creatures in the world. You know that. You'll never go to the circus and see a sheep act.
Right.
So it's tough pastoring. And I understand a lot of pastors will agree that I'm not pastoring a church. I'm running a daycare. It's tough.
Right.
But unfortunately, we don't hear from many pastors. It's usually the safety team leader. And I would have to say, and I hate saying this, and you may have to edit it out, but pastors have been, to us, the biggest obstacle to protecting the flock. I'm reading all the time where pastors are saying, we don't need to be concerned about that. We need to have no fear. We agree. Have no fear. I don't think there's any reason for any church to panic. I just know there's every reason for every church to prepare. But pastors are the toughest shells to crack to get this information into their mind and heart and say, listen, I know you love your flock, Pastor. Why not love them enough to do what you do when you go home every night? You lock the door. You secure the windows. You don't want anybody coming in, stealing your stuff, or worse, hurting your family. Pastor, why would you think any less when you see what's happening at these churches? Why would you not have something in place? We passed a law, went into effect September the 1st here in Texas, allowing churches to form their own security teams as long as they don't use the word security or pay volunteers. You can put a deacon in the parking lot if you can carry a gun legally and say, hey, old Joe, Deacon Joe, get out there in the parking lot and protect the flock.
Right.
They didn't have that this past week in Sutherland Springs. So I wish the pastors were ringing. I mean, my phone's ringing off the hook. I'm dead tired. Heading out tomorrow for another 1,000-mile journey, but we're hoping the pastors will wake up to this. Many of them understand it. But I have learned as a police officer, and I want to say this carefully, but I have learned as a police officer that many pastors and many people who are religious, their religion has had a negative effect on them, and they've given their hearts to Jesus, but I'm not sure what they did with their minds. I don't know where they threw them. We just forfeit common sense, and it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah, and lack of discernment is widespread, unfortunately. But hey, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're with Jimmy Meeks from Sheepdog Seminars, talking about the church shootings and what we can do about it in our churches and our congregations, and hopefully give some tools to those sheepdogs in the congregations that are charged with security, and also some things that we can do to present to pastors who are acting as the obstacles, as Jimmy said, to securing their flock. The shepherd is not securing the sheep. So we'll talk about that. Stay tuned. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
This is Matt Shea with your daily news commentary, the way I see it. The 51st state, Liberty State. There are a lot of myths going around, and one of them is that it's not popular. Born of ignorance, and only a bunch of hicks support the move to split a state. Well, that's funny, because polls with over 10,000 responses, including KXLY, not known as a bastion of conservatism, showed an average of 74% in support. Crosscut, a socialist-leaning publication, said the movement is born of ignorance. They claim that us hicks actually do share the same values, culture, traditions, and heritage as downtown Seattle. Really? We believe the Constitution means what it says, and the Bible is the Word of God. We believe in the sanctity of life, liberty, property, and the ability to defend the same. Time and again, Seattle has rejected and repudiated those ideas. The truth is, we are already two states, and the fact they have to ridicule such a popular idea proves it. At least, that's the way I see it. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for listening. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea Republic.
When a person desires respectability of people more than they stand in awe and fear of God, they sell out.
Going into segment four here at episode 1735. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters, Works LLC. That's W-E-R-K-Z as in Zulu. Go to works.com for all of your custom holster needs. They are made right here in the American Redoubt. Lifetime guarantee on all their products. I carry one, and so does Mrs. Schmidt. All right, if you're just joining us here at the Voice of the American Redoubt, we've got Jimmy Meeks on the line, former police officer, now heads up Sheepdog Seminars, and he is a very busy man right now in the wake of the most recent shootings last week, just 1 week ago today in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Tragic. And we talked about that. I talked about that a little bit this week. We've got a lot of people in the listening audience. I've spoken to several who are on the church security teams in their churches. I know we've got a lot of pastors also in the listening audience that are very supportive of having security in their churches. But unfortunately, not every pastor feels the same way. So let's talk briefly about that. What are some of the tools, and you can also, you point to your website too. I want to definitely plug that. That's sheepdogchurchsecurity.net.
No.
Oh, wait.
It's sheepdogseminars.com.
Oh, sheepdog.
You're sending them to another site.
Okay. All right. Well, that's how I got a hold of you.
Yes. That's my friend Chris Maloney, who does the same thing in Minnesota, but he does not do interviews.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'm tracking there. Okay. So sheepdogseminars.com. Perfect. Okay.
Sheepdogseminars.com is a shortcut that will take you to sheepdogsafetytraining.com.
Perfect. Okay. That clears that up. All right. So, he made it sound like, you handle the seminar side of things and he handles the website side of things. So I'm glad.
Now Chris is a police officer in Minnesota. He's had us up there twice for Sheepdog Seminars. Minnesota was probably the hardest state we've had to work, because we just our lowest crowds. We usually have big crowds, but Minnesota was very, very difficult to penetrate.
Wow. And I know that Minnesota is where Pastor Sharam Hadian was doing a presentation on the bringing awareness to the true intentions of Islam. And there was a Islamic jihadist out in the parking lot streaming on Facebook or YouTube, one of the two.
Yes, I saw that video.
Yeah.
And the problem that people have with security, the problem that many pastors have is it just doesn't appear to be in the Bible. They say, well, you know, it's the Bible's our guide and we need to trust the Lord. But I would encourage them to reread the Bible.
Right.
In Acts 23, when Paul was told by his nephew that there's a group of men that are going to kill you, they vow to not eat until they kill you, he told his nephew to go tell the police. And to make a long story short, he went and told the police, and they put 475 armed guards on Paul. Yeah. It's interesting what Paul didn't do. He didn't say, oh, nephew, don't worry about it. God will protect us.
Right.
He said, no, you go down there to the police department, you tell them this, and next thing you know, he's got 475 armed guards on him to make sure that he gets to Rome. And, of course, we say, you know, the gospel spread around the world because of armed security. You know, it's with Paul the Apostle. And
absolutely.
Acts 23. I'd encourage people to read that. Paul was constantly trying to get away from people who were trying to kill him. One time he had to be let down the side of the wall in a basket. That's crime prevention. He didn't stay in town and say, let's just trust God. You know, and Jesus said, if you persecuted in one city, flee to the next.
Yeah.
He didn't say stay there.
Absolutely. And that's just one. There's just two examples there of multiple examples supporting self-defense and having armed security and you know, the citizens being armed, and it is just, yeah, it's selective biblical understanding for people to say that that's not biblical.
It really is, and the armed security, people have a hard time with that. So, well, we have a safety team at church, and that's good. We don't even encourage people to use security. In Texas, the law forbids you using the word security.
Mm.
It's you can't put it on your uniform or a hat to your shirt or nothing. You just got to wear plain clothes, and you can't be paid. That's a law in Texas. It's called Texas Senate Bill 2065. But you need to understand, if these guys come with a gun, you've heard it said that the best way to deal with a guy with a gun, a bad guy, is with a good guy with a gun.
Right.
And, you know, they had no one in the parking lot down in Sutherland Springs. They never saw this thing coming. Maybe, we'll never know the whole truth, but maybe if somebody's in the parking lot and they're armed, which they're permitted to do now, you could bring your gun to church in Texas for years. You just couldn't serve on a security team or a safety team, but now you can. If they'd have had somebody in the parking lot, and we have the hardest time getting churches to understand this. Men don't want to go outside. It's too hot. It's too cold. Well, soldiers don't get to make the decision about the weather. Nobody controls the weather. That belongs to God. So we tell them, you get out in the parking lot. You don't want a shootout in the foyer, in the lobby, or you don't want one in the church.
And you also don't get to choose when the bad guy comes.
People will never come back.
You also don't get to choose when the bad guy decides to bring the attack to your congregation.
No, you don't. You know, I got a friend who you might remember 2 years ago. A lady put on a Draw the Prophet contest in Garland, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Pamela Geller.
And the Muslims were very mad about this. Two of them, ISIS terrorists in Phoenix, Arizona, got in their car. They put 6 rifles in that car, 1,500 rounds of ammunition, and drove from Phoenix to Garland to kill everybody. They thought they found their weakest link in what appeared to be and was an unarmed security guard standing by a police officer who was pushing 60 years old. When they pulled up and came out of that car with their guns, Officer Gregory Stevens took them on, shot them both,
yep,
and stopped them. And he likes to say, we bring him with us. We'll everywhere we go now. And he says, you know, you don't get to choose the moment. It chooses you.
Yes.
And he said, you know, I love his final words. He says that I now realize that God put his hand on me and said, I'll take care of you, but you got to take care of them.
Right.
And he did. And you don't get to choose the moment, just as you don't get to choose the weather. And if you don't have an armed response in the parking lot, you're going to lose people.
Unnecessarily.
There's just nothing you can, not a lot you can do about that.
That's right. Well, there is a lot you can do about
it. I'm not a gun fanatic. I own one gun. I'm not a gun fanatic.
Right.
I don't belong to the NRA. I'm not opposed to them. I'm all for them. I just don't get into all that. I just got my one gun. I got it as a gift when I retired as being a cop. And so I'm not a fanatic about it. I'm just saying that these guys, we say in the police world, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Correct.
You know, these guys will kill you. And that's what the churches have to realize. And I had a pastor tell me this, or actually not a pastor, but a churchgoer told me 3 days ago, he said, you know, Jimmy, I think that all of us church people think everybody's like us. Everybody's all sweet and kind, nice, and everybody that comes to church is there because they love the Lord. My goodness, Jesus didn't even have a group like that amongst the 12 that followed him. One of them was a betrayer.
Right.
What makes us think that everybody that comes in there, when Devin Roof went into Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston, he sat there for 50 minutes and listened to the Bible. He waited until they bowed their heads in prayer. That's what one of the survivors said. He got us with our eyes closed. He waited. He pulled out that gun and started shooting. And many people don't know this about Charleston, but one of the men killed was the Reverend Daniel Simmons. His son testified at the trial last December and said, I don't understand. My dad was very protective of people and carried a gun everywhere he went, even to church.
Yep.
And when the coroner gave him the keys to his daddy's car, he went to get in that car and take it home. He opened the door, and there was daddy's gun on the seat. The press is not reporting that.
Right.
But it's there. It's easy to find. You can Google it and find his testimony. And, boy, what they give to have that knife back and daddy take a gun in there. He reloaded 4 or 5 times. It would not have been the losses of much life.
That's right.
If Reverend Simmons had been able to pull his gun out.
Well, I said the same thing about last week in Sutherland Springs. You know, it appears, well, nobody returned fire from the congregation. And I couldn't help but to wonder how many handguns were under seats or in glove compartments out in the parking lot and not on their person. You have to have it your person.
And well, we don't know. You know, we don't know all that yet. It'll come out. I spent 2 days down there myself this week. My partner, who's with us in our seminars, Carl Chin,
yeah,
who travels with us and who's been on faith-based property 2 times when he was face-to-face with a killer on faith-based property, once at New Life Church in Colorado Springs 10 years ago, and then about 21 years ago and when he was working for James Dobson to Focus on the Family, a man showed up with a gun to kill everybody.
Yeah, yep.
And ran everybody out, kept Carl and 3 others hostage.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, comes in handy. You got, and they had, in the tragedy at New Life Church in Colorado Springs, a friend of mine was shot and 2 of his 4 daughters were shot and killed. And they will tell you, Carl does it in his presentation, we had no armed response in the parking lot. They would have seen this van pull up, park awkwardly, and taken up 2 or 3 spaces, and coming out of that car with a rifle, they could have engaged him. And that's haunted them for 10 years.
Absolutely.
And it's certainly haunted my friend David, who still has bullet scars on his stomach, and yeah, half of his family, half of his children, 2 of them, 18-year-old Stephanie, 16-year-old Rachel, dead.
I remember. Matter of fact, when I was in Colorado Springs, I went to Focus on the Family, and I went to New Life Church. I attended there while I was working there, and I spoke to the woman who engaged him, and she gave me the full tour. She took me around and said I was standing here, and he was right over there by the water fountain.
Jeannie Somm.
Huh? Pardon?
Jeannie Somm is her name.
Yes, yes. And really neat lady, and she didn't hesitate to give me the whole rundown, the whole tour. It was really fascinating.
She shot him 10 times, and he hit him 6, and then he killed himself is how he actually died.
Correct.
He took his own life.
Yep, that's right.
But it was, Jesus said, he said, be on your guard against men. They will harm you in the house of worship, Matthew chapter 10, verse 17.
Imagine that.
And we weren't just told they would harm us. We were told to be on our guard. That's military language used by our Messiah. You know, so be on your guard, churches. And, you know, I was did a seminar the other day in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Small church. I didn't think anybody would show up, but Colonel Grossman was with me. Carl was with me. And they came from everywhere. We packed out that church. And, you know, about 3:30, 4 o'clock that afternoon, I had an unusual experience. I could tell that I don't know how. I don't know how to tell you I knew, but I knew they were going to have a disaster in that area in 2 weeks. And I told them, you will have a disaster in 2 weeks. Please be ready. Well, 13 days later, an hour and a half down the road, a pastor's wife was cleaning the church gymnasium, I believe it was, when a man came in. He slit her throat. He raped her. He killed her.
Yeah.
These guys will kill. You know, there are wolves among us, many wolves, more than ever, because we have 7 billion people. And these people will kill you. I mentioned earlier, we have somewhere between 5 to 20 sex crimes reported every day. Youth directors are filling up jails across the country. Worship leaders going to jail. Pastors going to jail.
Sure.
These sex crimes are probably 1,000 times the threat. We'll have more sex crimes reported at a church in 1 year than we've had shootings at schools and churches in 250 years.
Yeah.
These sex crimes are actually the bigger threat. We address those in our seminars and show people how to stop them. We're just not stopping them, and they're not hard to stop. But they just keep happening. I used to post them, but I quit posting them because I couldn't keep up. I got thousands of emails behind. You can see my phone here now. It says I've got 5,700 emails waiting to be read. Many of them are Google alerts in reference to sex crimes on faith-based property.
Sure, sure. Okay, so let's talk to the pastors and those that are on security teams in their churches. Let's give them some resources. They understand the need. They need to know how to go to the next level. How can they bring a seminar like what you offer and the training that you offer? How can they properly train their security personnel?
Well, we offer really unique seminars because Carl Chin is with us. And one of the world's experts on violence and its causes is Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman.
Oh, yeah.
You might have, you would have seen, if you saw the movie American Sniper, they used Colonel Grossman's material in that movie with his permission when the father tells Chris Kyle and his brother that there are 3 people in the world, 3 kinds, wolf, sheep, and sheepdog. So we have a great team. People can go to the website. They can go to the website, sheepdogseminars.com, see where we're coming. I think you're way up in the Northwest near Coeur d'Alene, but we'll be in Salt Lake City, and we would be glad that we've been in Washington several times. We were in Idaho. but we simply could not get the people to respond. We couldn't get the pastor to give the support that we needed. So we had, forget about that. We had a very small crowd there, only about 130, 140. But if these pastors, maybe now they're a bit more woke up. So if they'll just, there's training, there's so much training available right now, it's almost difficult to know what to do. I'm obviously quite biased because the three of us have been affected by violence. I was a cop 35 years. Carl's been on faith-based property two times when government showed up. I was married in the church where 15 were shot and 5 killed. So we know our stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm on my way to Nebraska tomorrow. I'm going to stop at churches along the way, and the church folks are going to gather. We're going to show them what to do.
Okay.
But I would say to the pastors, if you don't come up with some kind of plan, and I believe Idaho allows this. I know Washington does. You could use civilians. If you can't afford security or the police, you need to have some men or women who are trained. Get them in that parking lot. But there, in reference to your question, though, sir, forgive me for straying. I think I'm just so tired of not thinking straight. But
it's all right.
I would just encourage people to Google and find out. There's so much help available. Now, a lot of the help has a very soft approach. You know, that, hey, let's just kind of hang around the foyer and direct people to classes. Well, that's fine, but that's an usher.
Right.
Your sheepdogs are people who are going to look for the wolf and be ready to attack him and stop him, or at least respond to his attack. So you need to take this serious, Pastor. Now, and one reason you do, Pastor, is because if you have a tragedy at your church, you're probably done for. You probably won't recover. I know a church that had a tragedy back in the late 90s. They acted like everything was okay. Some of the men who got shot turned the bullets into cufflinks. They went on Oprah Winfrey. They went on these televangelist shows and what have you, and everything seemed fine. And 6 months later, PTSD broke out in the congregation. Divorce broke out in the congregation. One of the kids that was injured took his own life. And 8 months ago, that church had to lay off 9 of its workers, 9 of its staff members. Here it is some 17 years later. And even the church I was married at, the tragedy occurred in 1980. The effects of it are still felt in that church to this day.
You bet. You bet.
I was married there. My grandma and grandpa and great-grandma were there the day of the tragedy. So you have to look into all these resources, Pastor. You got to get armed security. You got to have people in place. You got to lock certain doors that aren't being used. Churches are notorious for leaving doors open. I remember one night on midnight shift, I found 11 doors open on different churches around the city on a Sunday night. And but, oh, my goodness. I mean, people go inside these things. They sleep in there. We have so many stories of people, of the homeless attacking people inside churches and what have you. We have almost 2,000 stories now that we've compiled.
Yeah.
So if a pastor wants to get serious about it, just, you know, just do what David did. Find out who are your mighty men at that church. Put them in charge and tell them, get a plan. But please, if nothing else, if the law allows you in Idaho or whoever's listening tonight, you know, to have a planned response. It's not good enough just to have a bunch of people in the congregation armed. Those people all start shooting, we're going to lose 50 people. You need to have a planned response. You can't go to war without making plans. It says that in the Bible.
Right. And seeking many counsel.
You can't defend these people.
Much counsel.
I'm sorry, sir?
And seeking many counselors.
Yeah, and the multitude of counselors are safety. Isn't that what we want?
That's right.
You know, Solomon said that. We want safety. He tells us how. The multitude of counselors. Get a plan and stay with it. But
well,
the biggest problem.
That's what
so
we want to do here.
That,
that's what we want to do here. And we're looking at you as one of those counselors. So it's sheepdogseminars.com. You were in the and this isn't just Idaho. I don't know, but where you got that. But this is, we cover the whole, the American Redoubt is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and Eastern Washington and Eastern Oregon.
We've been in Montana. We've
you bet.
We've been in we were in Boise, Idaho. And that's what I was referring to. It was just
okay. Oh, I'll be speaking.
Disappointing seminar.
I'll be speaking there Monday.
Get the pastors on board.
Well, good deal. Yeah, I'll be speaking down there a week from Monday and Tuesday. So in the Boise, Idaho area. So. I'll tell you what, I'll follow up with you on this and we'll see what we can do about, Radio Free Redoubt facilitating, one of these seminars. And, I know there's a lot of people that are looking for these types of resources. We want to make, I've done a lot of research and we will get a a lot out there. And of course, you have to discern. There's one guy that's gotten a little bit of press. He started up a church security thing, and he says he's trained almost 1,000 people. And I said, well, I guess you got to start somewhere.
That's good.
God bless him.
That's good. And I would want to know, you know, what are you telling these people? Because if it excludes an armed response, you might as well send people to fight the war on terror and don't let them take guns.
Yeah.
Because you've got to have that kind of training. There's a lot of training going on that's
no substitute.
Not even relevant to what's taking place. You know, you have to look at the things. And I would encourage people to go to the website, carlchin.com, CARLCHINN.com.
Okay.
Carl is documented. We've had 800 people now have died a violent death on faith-based property since 99. That number is close to, if not ahead, of the number of deaths in school shootings. Carl has documented all of these. The Washington Post, I believe, called him the most reliable source in America for the documentation of violence on faith-based property. See what's going on there. You won't believe some of these things, just horrible, horrible crimes that are occurring on faith-based property. And we tell people, too, please quit looking at your building. And this is so important. Pastors, don't. Your building is not the house of the Lord. I would encourage you to start reading the New Testament, where it makes it clear that we are his house, Hebrews 2. We are his temple, 1 Corinthians. The Almighty does not dwell in temples made with hands, but there are people that think if you put a sign out front that says church and a steeple on top, that you're safe. And that's not spirituality. That's superstition.
Yeah.
I read these stories all the time where people say, I can't believe this happened in the house of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're 2,000 years on this side of an empty tomb outside of Jerusalem.
That's right.
The Lord does not dwell in a building anymore. He lives in us. So quit seeing your church building as some kind of sacred. We tell them at the seminar, your building's no more sacred than a nightclub.
Right.
And it's sure not sacred to the mind of a criminal. So, you know, quit being so spooky and whatever the word is, superstitious about this, that he'll protect your house. It's simply not happening. They burned 1,000 churches to the ground in Nigeria in 2012. What are they doing wrong?
I was just going to, I wanted to address that. Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that before I let you go. I know that you were down in Sutherland Springs. You were speaking to a lady, and this is when I was talking to you on the phone the other day. And
about
her faith. So can you tell that story real quick?
Well, I saw this lady standing there. We were at the other Baptist church there in the city where people were coming. It was a safe place guarded by the highway patrol. And I saw this lady standing there surrounded by all these chaplains, and she just looked really bummed out. I went up to her, long story short, and said, can I help you? Can I fill your cup with another soft drink, a soda pop or whatever? And she said, well, you can throw it away for me. I said, well, sure. And I could tell she was so down, just stood there staring at the ground. And I said, are you okay? What's your story? And she said, he killed my aunt and uncle. And then she went on to say, Jimmy, I don't have faith anymore. You know, I don't have faith. I don't believe anymore. This has stretched me to the limit. And, you know, if God can't be trusted in something like this, then, you know, what can he be trusted with? Now, that means somebody hasn't told her the whole truth, because God never told you you wouldn't get hurt.
Nope.
In a house of worship.
He said the opposite.
So she hasn't heard the full whole gospel. That's a whole other interview,
right.
But I realize that now, that people aren't being told the whole truth, and I've known that for 30 years.
Yeah.
But I do understand, and I've been saying this for about 7-8 years, that the devil's plan in this is to steal faith. He wants people to quit believing. And, brother, it's working, because the largest religion in the world is Christianity. The fastest-growing religion is Islam.
Yep.
And by the year 2050, there will be more Muslims than Christians. We have 34 preachers quitting every day, and 7 out of 10 kids in your youth group are going to quit church after they get a high school diploma. We are losing people left and right. 68% of men who go to church look at pornography. 52% of our preachers,
yep.
A third of our women. People are dropping out of the faith left and right. In North America, there are fewer converts every day than anywhere else in the world.
Yes.
And this, you know, Jesus told Peter, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail you. If the devil can get your faith, he's got your keys to the car.
That's right.
You may have a nice, pretty car, so to speak, but you ain't going nowhere without the keys. And faith is a key. Without it, the Bible says, without it, it's impossible to please God. So that's what he's after. Jesus said in the Gospel of Mark, when the Son of Man returns, will I find faith on the earth? Faith. Those that are believing in spite of what they're seeing, hanging on to eternal truths that come to us from Scripture and God the Father. But that's what he's after.
Absolutely.
People are quitting. I've said this for years. Our people don't have, I've said this many times, the faith of the average American churchgoer is not thick enough to endure too much tragedy.
I'm glad you said that.
People will quit churches over, people will quit church over the color of the carpet or if the pastor gets a raise. I know, I used to pastor. They quit over the least little thing. God's people are very easily offended. What will they do if somebody comes in and guns down half the congregation? Who will come out of that still believing? So protect your flock. I plead with you in tears to protect your flock. I've said that 10,000 times in the last 10,000 days.
Yeah.
Please protect your flock until you can strengthen them in the Lord.
Amen to that, brother. That is dead on. And I want to talk to that because this audience, I often refer to as the remnant. This is the remnant. And we need people to be stronger in their faith more now than ever. And when I heard this, a woman who lost an aunt and an uncle because they were shot dead a week ago, losing her faith over that, we need to be reminded. We're strong proponents and supporters of the underground church overseas and the Voice of the Martyrs. We support them.
Yes.
And the persecuted church around the world. And let me tell you something. I've never seen people that had more joy in them who love Jesus more than people that live in South Sudan or multiple other places in across Africa and Asia, who are regularly having their churches bombed, shot up, people attacked, their pastors killed or kidnapped or arrested.
I mean, a church in Iraq lost 57 people in one service.
Exactly.
57. Brother, keep this in mind. We have, Charles Stanley said this one time, this is great. We have an American brand of Christianity.
Yes.
You know, we've got the prosperity TV preacher version of Christianity.
Right.
We all want a nice house, two-car garage, good job, and then say, God has blessed me.
Right.
As if the accumulation of your stuff reflects God's blessing. Bill Gates has $60 billion in his checking account, and he's an atheist.
Right.
He's not sure he believes in God. I saw him say it. So we have not preached the pure gospel. We've not preached the pure gospel.
No.
As my friend David told me this week, who got shot in church and two of his daughters killed, he said, where do people get the idea you can't get hurt in church? That's not the gospel. The gospel promises you trouble.
Yep.
Good life, and your best life is not now, even though that can be the title of books and good sermons. Our best life is yet to come.
That's right.
But, you know, we live in a time in history we're at war, and we don't preach a gospel that says all that live godly in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 3:12, shall suffer persecution. Paul is in every chapter Paul is mentioned in Acts 13 through 28, he's in trouble.
That's right.
No, there's just trouble that comes. My friend David, who got shot, his favorite Bible verse is John 16:33. In this world, you will have much tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world.
That's right.
So it's we got to start telling people the truth and stop this Americanism that's crept into our gospel as if there's an American flag flying next to God's throne. God help us with what we're preaching. It's just awful.
Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. And we've got to strengthen our faith and nothing can shake it. We have to become so solid.
And brother, don't forget, you mentioned this. We've had 90 million people killed for their faith since Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7. Most of them, 45 million, were killed in the 1900s. More people were killed for their faith in the 1900s than the previous centuries combined.
Yeah.
Previous 20 centuries combined.
Based on my
research. So what makes us think God's not going to let violence come here? Jesus will come back first. Where in the world do you get that out? He's not stopping that overseas. He's not stopping that overseas.
Oh,
ISIS is murdering Christians every day, beheading children, putting their heads on poles and marching them around town.
Yep.
What makes us think that won't come to downtown LA, New York, Oklahoma City, or Dallas? What makes us think that we have some place in God's heart? He favors us Americans more than he does his suffering people around the world. That blows my mind and just gets my blood boiling.
I know. I hear you.
I don't know what to say about that.
You're preaching to the choir now, brother. This audience gets that.
Audience. In every seminar, we ask everybody at every seminar one question. How many of you knew we've surpassed 90 million people murdered for their faith? In 55 seminars with Carl and Colonel Grossman, we have not had a total combined number of hands raised that would equate to the number 10. We've had maybe 10 hands raised in 55 seminars by people who were aware that we are going on 100 million martyrs now. The yeah. church has no idea that they're slaughtering the saints. We've not had 10 total hands raised in 55 seminars.
And not to be a Debbie Downer or anything, but it hasn't even gotten started yet. What we're told, what is coming to his people in the future is going to be mind-bending. You know, so, you know, we...
It is.
We have to prepare. We definitely have to prepare. We have to be vigilant. And we have to always be ready. Ready at a moment's notice, without warning, to defend life, liberty, and property, and specifically life. And that's on you, sheepdogs.
And I would say to the preachers, put this on your flock. Put this on
Absolutely.
Your sheepdogs.
Absolutely.
And preacher, you build up the sheep. You strengthen them in the faith. You put your men in the parking lot. So you protect the flock. And I'll make sure they get sanctified.
That's right.
That's what I would do.
Hey.
We'll put you in the parking lot. You go get your guns and what have you. You guard the parking lot. You guard the foyer. I'm going to make disciples.
Hey, many parts make up the body.
The faith and tell them the truth.
Many parts make up the body, and each part has a specific function. So there are some people that are just called their part. Their role is to be a sheepdog. And the pastors need to empower
yes, it
them
is.
To do that. Well, hey, I want to thank you so much for being with us and taking the
thank
time.
You,
it's really a pleasure. Time goes so fast. Jimmy Meeks from sheepdogseminars.com. Get a hold of them and get the resources that you need. Book a seminar so that you can get – and you know what? Reach out into your community. This isn't just about your church. Start networking with other sheepdogs that are providing
yeah.
security in their churches and
get along
pull
with
together.
Other churches. That's a new concept.
Absolutely. Exactly. Pull together and bring these folks into your community and get all of you guys trained up and then start networking together, training together even.
Indeed.
Before and after the seminar comes and goes. Continue to maintain that.
And we'll come help you. Contact us. We'll get there as soon as we can. We're not going to stop now. So we'll come anywhere in the nation, anybody that wants to call. And our schedule is on our website, too, brother, and we're going to be all over the country next year, but we'd love to come back up in the Idaho,
Perfect.
Montana area.
Okay.
There's a lot of interest right now. Thank you for having me on.
You bet. All right. God bless you, brother. You are doing amazing work, and it's much needed and very timely. So Godspeed to you, and I will definitely follow up with you.
God bless you, too, brother. Thanks for the interview. Thanks for the time. Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that. Thanks for what a great guy. What a blessing. And my goodness, what a job that he has ahead of him. And training thousands of people, and they're reaching out. And the pastors, I know there's pastors in this church, in this audience, you know, that are, you get it, you understand. But man, this, our shepherds, how in the world can you shepherd without a staff in your hand? How would David would have been able to kill a lion and a bear coming after the sheep if he wasn't prepared to do combat with them? If he didn't have a staff? Well, a modern day staff is, well, firearms. Those are the weapons that we're up against, right? For physical weapons. Anyway, go to sheepdogseminars.com. We're also going to put carlchin.com up there, links. And another one too, Dave Grossman. He's got a website, Killology, and author of several great books. I've read two of his books. We'll see, three. On killing, on combat, and Stop Teaching Our Children to Kill. And plus, I've taken his Bulletproof Mind seminar series. Amazing stuff for the warrior. I would mandate that the Bulletproof Mind seminar definitely is a must for your security teams. And the book on combat is just phenomenal. I can't speak highly enough about them. But anyway, all these resources are going to be made available to you. Oh, and also we'll find the information for the link to Faith Under Fire, the video that they made as well. Okay, you guys have a blessed week. Be safe out there. And thank you so much for the prayers, for the support, and the financial support. We are in great need of it, and several of you stepped up. I can't even tell you how grateful I am, how helpful that was at this time, this season that I'm in right now. It was just, I'm very grateful. Thank you. Okay, have a blessed week. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name too. Good night.